Hello and welcome, everyone. I am Rebecca Mathias, intuitive business and success coach, and you are listening to the Legendary Leadership Radio Show, where women in business from all over the globe gather each week to come together and get accountability and guidance to get more done in a feminine way. You truly are the pioneers that are leading the way on a new path of getting it done like a woman, where you get success, accomplishment, increased self-confidence, and project completion. It is your time to take a stand and step into your own greater levels of success and accomplishment. And as always, I am so excited to be here with you today. I started this weekly show to support you, motivate you, and coach you on what actions and mindset you need in order to create the success you deserve, so you can live your best life, inspiring and empowering others. These shows are a way for me to give back, and they speak most near and dear to my passion of supporting and empowering women making a difference in the world through their businesses. You can learn more about me at RebeccaMathias.com and join our Legendary Leadership Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/Legendary Leadership. And I am just so delighted to be here with all of you this week once again. And it just seems like the radio shows continue to get juicier and juicier. And I'm really continuing to stretch myself to be sharing on a deeper level with you each and every week and give you real live examples from my own life or from the lives of my clients that help you to really realize what we all go through and our all connectivity and what we're all, you know, how similar we are, more so than different. And so this week's topic, inspired by my car breaking down last week, is entitled How to End Your Drama and Self-Sabotage for Good So You Can Focus on Making Money. Now, I don't know about any of you on the show here today or for those of you who listen to the recording, but typically, if you're growing and you're growing at a pace in which nature intended you to, you're going to bump up against your own stuff. So a lot of times people who are keeping the status quo, they might not be bumping up against so much. So you might be thinking to yourself, I know at least I did at one point, why is this stuff happening to me? You know, what the heck is going on? Or, you know, what's my level of attraction? Or you know, for those of you who are familiar with the law of attraction, and really thinking about, like, what did I do to attract this? Like, what's going on? And here's the deal. It's not always a negative thing. You know, you heard me talk about this on last week's radio show that a lot of times when you're getting ready to make a big leap, these types of things will happen. Your car might break down, or you might get sick, or you might have something happen in your house. And, like, you know, a lot of times I've seen people who, if they're bringing in a certain amount of money and they, like, jump up and start making more money, sometimes they can manifest a problem that ends up being close to the same amount of money that they just brought in, therefore taking them back down to that level that they were used to or comfortable with. And so as you're developing on this personal path and creating more and more income in your business, you may say, I want to make over $100,000 this year, or I want to be that $10,000 a month entrepreneur, but it's not going to happen unless you're doing your inner work and unless you're really continuing on the path of personal development. So there's no possible way that 3.5 years ago when I first started my business and I was literally charging $1,297 for a six-month package, that I could be at the level of success in my business and income that I have generated and created without being available to do this path of personal development, without being available to continue to invest in myself and to continue to stretch myself and to continue to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. As Neil Donald Walsh says, everything you desire is just outside of your comfort zone. And so the sooner you can get comfortable with being uncomfortable, the better. You know, no coaching call is really meant to be like a feel-good session. You know, that's something you do with your girlfriends. And so if you're currently working with a coach, or if you've worked with a coach in the past, or even if you're looking for a coach, You want to make sure that you're working with someone or you're choosing to invest in someone who's willing to go there, who's willing to stretch you, and who's willing to help you grow. I'm not saying that every coaching session is uncomfortable by any means. You know, a lot of my coaching sessions are fantastic, and there's aha moments and things that I didn't see before that my coach is bringing to my attention. But there certainly have been plenty of times where it's like, let's refine and let's revisit and let's see what's working and let's see what's not working. And, you know, hey, there's an immense amount of work coming up that you're going to need to really dive in deep and get done in order to get the results that you're looking for, or to take your business to the next level and upgrade and start creating multiple streams of income, for example. And so coaching is truly there and meant to stretch you and help you to grow. And that coach that you've hired is not meant to feel like a buddy. Your session should not be about chit-chatting. It should really be about diving in deep and being professional and helping you to grow and helping you to realize your blind spots and strategizing with you about your efforts. And so, like I said, no matter where you are on this journey, the faster that you can get being comfortable with what you might call uncomfortable situations, or situations that can at first glance appear to be a disaster or to appear to be a catastrophe, that you really stay in faith and you really trust that something better must obviously be on its way, because I have this true belief, because the truth with a capital T is that the universe is constantly conspiring on your behalf for your highest and best good. There is no part of God that is out there saying, you know what, you didn't come to church this week, or you didn't meditate, or you didn't whatever it is, okay, or you made a bad decision, and now you're going to be punished. This is an old belief from an outdated religious structure, and it's just not true. And I've come to really realize that. I grew up Catholic, and, you know, certainly that was drilled into my head growing up that, like, if you do something bad, you're going to be punished for it, and so on and so on. And so some reprogramming was necessary to take place, and I've literally reconditioned myself and have the core belief running throughout my entire being of truth, with a capital T, that God and the universe, or whatever it is that you understand as a higher power in your life, is just one love. There is no opposite there in that realm of consciousness, or realm of energy, or realm of love, so to speak. And that energy is constantly there for you, constantly loving you, constantly saying yes to you as you are creating and you are a creator, and constantly making things happen on your behalf to the degree in which that you choose to get your thoughts, your words, and your actions aligned, because those are the three things that will always create your reality. And so if you begin to shift, and you're, again, available to be in this place of discomfort or this place of not knowing just how it might turn out, you begin to be available for miracles. And so when a catastrophe occurs, or what a perceived catastrophe or a perceived course of events that is way less than desirable and way something you completely didn't plan and unexpected, and for those of you mothers out there, an extra special shout out to you, because sometimes those monkey wrenches can really throw you off. I know that for most of the month of February, my children have been off from school for lack of snow here on the East Coast, and again this week we got some more snow, so they were off yesterday and 2 hours late today, and so you know, that kind of throws a monkey wrench in. And so we need to plan for those opportunities, but it's also in how we deal with it. So I don't know if you've ever heard the saying about, it's not that you've fallen down that matters, it's how you get back up. So with that being said, for those of you who were on my radio show last week, you did hear a small glimpse into this whole, like, I wasn't sure what was going on with my car thing and la-da-da-da-da, and to make a long story short, the finalization of that is that, yes, indeed, the transmission has completely gone up in my 11-year-old beloved SUV. Like, I can absolutely tell you that even after all these years, I still absolutely love my Ford Explorer. And, you know, was looking at potentially getting a newer used car come summer and that sort of thing, just because of the nature of the age of this car. But it was not expected by any stretch of the imagination, and it was outrageously inconvenient. And, you know, I don't have a spare car. I don't know someone I can borrow a car from. Like, I literally, and as you can imagine, coming off of the heels of February with all of the snow on the East Coast, like, I've already got cabin fever. Like, add to it no vehicle, and, you know, I am, like, really, was really ready to get out of the house last week and, you know, cure some of my cabin fever, even if just for getting back on a regular gym schedule. And so what happened was I started, and I know this about myself, and so as you're on your path of personal development, you begin to really learn your patterns and your triggers and all of these different things. And when you do that, you get to what I would call a pinnacle point, and that's ultimately what happened for me last week, was because I'm continuously available to learn about myself from a place of non-judgment and love and compassion, that I'm able to see these pieces that trigger me and not go into really judging myself for even going there. And so I started just, you know, like, making more drama. And so, like, I'm texting people, and, like, it's really easy to fall into the pattern of being the victim. And for me, growing up, being the victim actually meant that I got attention. And so it was conditioned for me to, like, it was almost like, could I be in a competition with my sister to be more pathetic than her so that I would win my parents' attention more than she did? And we sort of have this in society, if you think about it. Like, if you're out or you're talking on the phone with a friend, and I don't know if I would necessarily call this a true friend, but a lot of times if you say, well, this is what's going on for me, then your friend might come back and say, oh, well, wait till you hear what's happening for me. And in the process, they completely invalidate you. So it, like, it's a really perpetual cycle. So it invalidates you, and then in order to be valid, you have to come up with a bigger thing that makes you even more pathetic to get to win the ultimate attention in the conversation. So I know all of you are thinking about this, and you're realizing, like, oh my God, that, like, what a huge aha moment, because I can remember years ago going out to a Mother's Day tea with my sister and my mom. And, you know, it was sort of like in the beginning of my path of spiritual and personal development. You know, I've been on this path for about 6.5 years at this point of really being intense and available to be uncomfortable and, you know, go there and learn about myself and all of these things. And I remember leaving that tea and feeling really like in a high vibration after I left the tea. But during the tea with my mother and my sister, it was like I was looking for things to complain about, and I was looking for the negative sentences and statements to share. And I left there, and I got in my car feeling in this higher vibration after I was not with them any longer and thinking to myself, like, what in the world was I doing? Like, that's not even me. It actually felt uncomfortable to be negative. Now, in the past, that was totally normal. Like, that was my normal. Like, I would totally find things that, you know, I could get attention for because growing up, again, this was sort of like the pattern conditioning. And so what I realized in that moment was something I had heard on a talking book, which was this competition to see who could be the most pathetic. And, you know, it really perpetuates the victim consciousness. And so it really wasn't, I really went from a place of being a victim and into empowerment around 6 years ago, 6.5 years ago, when I went through a really intense family tragedy with my ex-husband while we were on vacation. And so really recognizing that and staying out of victimhood is the best thing for me, and it really ultimately gets you nowhere. However, there are still things that will trigger that. And so, like I said, I started texting all these people and just saying, like, here's the situation and here's what's going on with my car. And, you know, all of this stuff. And, I mean, part of it was, like, yes, to inform people and also to reach out for people for resources, like, hey, do you know anyone who is a used car person or, you know, those kinds of things. And so there's that piece of it. But I could definitely sense a tiny little thread of me sort of being like, oh, once again, I've got this going on kind of. And you know what? Here's the thing. By the evening time of this day, I realized, like, first of all, I was so, like, frustrated and in this frantic energy, spinning out of control kind of energy, which attracts nothing good, of course. And, you know, my kids are needing dinner, and I'm feeling overwhelmed, and I'm like, okay, this is like day three of me not getting anything done in my business, and, you know, I've got all these things to be getting done, and I'm overwhelmed, and when am I going to get to these things, and once again, I'm behind schedule, and I haven't gotten to the gym. You know, all of these things are piling up on top of one another, and I literally blew up at my kids. Like, I was literally, like, just so frustrated, as if an almost 11-year-old and a 7-year-old can even begin to comprehend, like, hey, when your car breaks down, it's a little bit stressful. It wasn't within their ability to really understand at the level in which an adult would understand, of course. And so after I kind of had this moment, I heard this voice come in and say, Rebecca, you've got about an hour more of this whole, like, dramatic, complaining, like, freaking out mode, and I've had enough. And, you know, thank God that voice did come in, because it really was like enough already, you know? And if you think about it, like, if your child, or let's say you had a teenage child or something, and they were like going on and on and on about the situation, and, like, you know, they were like telling all of their friends and whatever, just imagine, okay? At some point, you as the parent would say, enough already. Or in my case, I would have probably have said to my child, which is one of my famous parenting phrases, that gratitude gets you everything and complaining gets you nothing. So I gave myself a little bit more time to have this pity party, and it went on far longer than, you know, it probably could have gone on for. But at the same time, it was a massive breakthrough for me, because I don't necessarily know that there would have been this kind of, like, halt energy, like, enough already kind of energy, and literally putting an end to it and choosing to be on purpose and choosing to be an intention and choosing to see this as a blessing and choosing to see that something better must be on its way, because certainly this wouldn't have happened for no reason, because the universe always has a purpose and a reason for everything. And so what happened for me is I started being able to get in touch with what was I really needing, because ultimately I was avoiding being present to myself. Like, it's okay to be upset. It's okay to be disappointed. It's okay to be frustrated. But, like, being present to those feelings and really tapping in deeply as to what am I really needing in this moment? Like, what is the loving action? You know, maybe I needed to go take a hot bath to just chill out. Maybe I just needed to sit down and journal, which I did do later on, and I'll tell you about that in a minute. And so what I really got clear about was, like, number one, I was requiring some masculine support. So I'm not married. I don't have a really, you know, communicative relationship with my father. And so I really don't have this level of masculine support, and so I've had to create it in my life. And thankfully, you know, I have an amazing masculine network, and in this situation, I was shown just how powerful that was. And so in the middle of the day, like, when I kind of caught myself spinning out, I emailed my coach, who's a guy, which is great, and he was able to get back to me. I was so grateful for that, given that he was in the middle of a seminar and was technically, quote-unquote, unavailable. And so he gave me some really great ideas as to how to reprioritize my time and my tasks, and, like, you know, it was like kind of like, hey, what do I do when I've got an unexpected emergency kind of happening that is requiring my attention? And at the same time, I've got a lot of things that have deadlines, and there's only so many hours in the day, and my kids are going to be home from school soon. And so he was able to provide me with some really great mentorship via email, which I was super grateful for. And so the other thing that I got clear about was that I just needed to talk it out loud. Like you heard me say on many radio shows in the past, get it out of your head, ladies. Like, really get it down on paper. Do the brain dump. Do the mind dump. Like, what is the problem, or what is the to-do list, or what do you need to know, and that sort of thing. And so luckily, without even asking, this guy that I have a relationship with, it, like, totally called me up out of the blue, wasn't expecting him to call, and was just, like, there for me. He had, like, a short bit of time in between, like, driving from one place to another, and just, he's really wise, really, like, practical, and just, like, thinks about all these different options, and, like, just a great person to do some masterminding with, and like, just get into reality, and, like, be on purpose with what I needed to do or what my options were. And so just having that literally like 10-minute phone call just kind of meant the world to me in that moment. And then after I got my kids to bed, I was able to sit down and call a girlfriend of mine. And I said, you know, I just feel like I need to get this all out on paper. And so I started looking at what are all of my options. You know, obviously I need a car, and obviously I need a car like ASAP, okay? So, and at the same time, I'm not available to go and make a purchase that's that big on the whim and not do research and really get clear about, you know, is this something I'm going to love, just in the same way that, you know, I still love my Ford Explorer even to this day. It's because I took the time to really get clear at that point in time in my life what were my desires and what were my needs for that car as my children were a lot younger at that point. And so I sat down with a notebook and paper in my dining room and my MacBook, and I really just kind of talked things out with her. And, of course, you know, I was asking her in the beginning, are you available to just listen to me and kind of help me talk this out? And it's really important that you do that, because you honor the other person for what they're available for, and if they're available to be there and kind of let you vent and listen. And that's one of the other things that I've learned along my journey. And so I got really clear while I was on the phone with her. And so I wrote out, okay, here are all of my options. Option number one is I can fix my current car. Now, I'm not just looking at the options. I'm not even looking at, like, what's the smart thing to do at this point. It was just, like, every option I possibly have. Okay, so I can fix my car. I can go out and buy a brand new car. I could lease a car. I could go out and buy a used car, and I could go out and rent a car for a couple of weeks, or, you know, at the time I was thinking a month, even though I won't need to do that because I leave for LA in 2 weeks for 13 or 14 days. And so I was able to really get clear that I had a lot of options. And so when you realize, like, hey, there's a lot of options here, that, like, there's going to be a solution, you know. When you don't see a solution, it's about being present and getting more creative. It's not about being frantic and stressing out and freaking out and becoming the victim, because that's ultimately going to get you nothing but trouble. And so I ended up remembering, like, one of my clients in Canada was telling me about this, like, you can take over someone's lease thing or something. So that was, like, one of the divine inspirations that had popped in. And so I ended up finding the same kind of version of that in the U.S. And, you know, where in the beginning of this call with my girlfriend, my energy was kind of just like, oh, you know, and I mapped out my options, and then below that, I wrote down, what are my next steps? So obviously my next step is to, like, look at how much money do I have to put towards this car? Do I apply for financing, and how much, you know, like that sort of thing. You know, do I want to do a temporary lease and save up money to then go and pay cash for something eventually? Do I need to create a new coaching package or program to bring in more income? Like, what are my different options here for figuring out the financing element of this, because in truth, there is no shortage in the universe, and there is no shortage of money, that's for sure. So I knew that my first step was that, number one, I needed to get clear on my options, and then number two, I could start beginning to get clear on my desires, because I took away this element of being in this frantic energy, which was literally having me spiral down into that place of being sabotaged by yourself. And so I'm still getting clear on my desire right now for, you know, what car do I want, what makes sense for my children and I, and, you know, that sort of thing, what's realistic with my level of income and that sort of thing, and also at the same time reaching out to all of my resources. And so and giving myself the space for that. Again, I personally wanted more time, and that's ultimately what I was looking at for my options that night, was like, what are my options that can buy me more time and not have me be stuck in my house? Because certainly I have places to go and things to do and that sort of thing. And so once I got clear on my next steps, that really kind of felt good. So we're finishing up our conversation, and I'm like, all right, let me just pull up this one website where you can literally take over someone's lease. And literally within, like, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes, I had found this super awesome Mercedes that was on a short-term lease for a couple of months that I could literally lease, and it would buy me time and give me the time and the space to decide what option I wanted to take that I had just put on the piece of paper. And so, you know, I've been in contact with the guy who's leasing it and that sort of thing, and the monthly payments are like outrageously cheap. It's like the perfect scenario. I mean, it's like literally leasing this Mercedes for a couple of months, you know, a car that I probably normally wouldn't get, but wow, wouldn't it be so super fun to play around with that car for the summer? And, you know, last year at this time, I was in California, and I was contemplating renting a car then, and I had never been to California before. Always in my heart and soul have had a desire to, like, I feel like I belong on the West Coast. Like, it just is a part of who I am somehow. And so I can't even begin to tell you how excited I was for this, my very first trip, not West, because I'd been to Arizona a couple of times at that point, but certainly to California. And, like, I so always, like, wanted to be that person in the movies driving up the California coastline. And so last year, and this is the picture that you saw in the mailer if you opened it for the call-in details for today, I ended up renting a Mustang convertible and drove up the coast with my girlfriend from L.A. to Santa Barbara for, you know, it was like an hour or two because we stopped in, like, Malibu and stuff like that. And, oh, it was, like, such an amazing, blissful, incredible experience. And at the same time, what I realized was, in hindsight now, like, what I paid for that rental car was, like, nothing, and it isn't even impacting me. It didn't even impact me last year in April. But at the time, it was, like, such a stretch. And I also created unnecessary drama and overcomplicated things even then. And what I really got clear on in reflecting on renting this convertible Mustang, because one of my thoughts is to actually purchase a used convertible Mustang as an option, that what the struggle was and what the overcomplicating and the drama was really about wasn't that the problem was that the car broke down. It wasn't that the problem was last year in March that the Mustang was a little more than I wanted to spend, you know, maybe a couple of hundred of extra dollars, and sort of a little bit like seen as unnecessary, like, really, do I really need to be driving around in a convertible Mustang versus this economy version? But it was because I wasn't allowing the fullness of what I really wanted. And what I really wanted was to drive up the coast in a freaking convertible. And so because of that experience, I was able to, in this experience, realize that the drama and the overcomplicating, yes, was partly in due to my past conditioning, but also in part to being conditioned to use that as a disguise to cover up me getting in touch with what it is that I truly want. And so that realization allowed me to uncover and eliminate the drama and the frustration and the overcomplicating things and recognize that it was like, where am I denying myself? Where am I denying myself? Do I really have a desire to put, like, multiple thousands of dollars into an 11-year-old vehicle, even though that, like, is the cheapest, most practical route to go right now? But where am I really denying myself? Because the pain for me with whether or not to rent the Mustang last year. And trust me, I had multiple dramatic conversations with my girlfriend on this. Like, I don't know, should I do it? It's this amount today, and yesterday it was cheaper, and I don't know. And it really is about you denying your own self what you are truly desiring within your heart and soul. And so I am really getting clear about what it is that I desire in my heart and soul, and that will be what I determine my decision with. Not this is practical, or this is realistic, or this is what I should do right now, or, you know, based upon my current income, or based upon my current circumstances. Like, that is not where divine creation comes from. That is not the place that miracles come from. And so I'm still definitely in this exploration phase. Fortunately, my mechanic let me know that I can drive my SUV and just be really careful. And at the same time, I am someone who looks ahead and plans properly and takes care of myself. And so I went ahead and purchased AAA. Like, you know, there's a lot of perks and benefits there. And if for any reason I end up, you know, with a problem with this SUV in the meantime, I can call AAA and they'll be there and I can get my car towed and everything's good to go. It also means that in the meantime, I am still looking at what are my other options so that I don't have to make a decision on the spot and make a big purchase on the spot and, you know, not really be 100% clear about what it is that I actually want. And, you know, give myself some exploration phase. Like, again, this is something that I know about myself, and, like, I like to explore things. Like, I like to try things out. Like, it would be kind of fun to drive around in a Mercedes for the summer and have this really low, super low car payment and finish out this person's lease for them just to take over the lease and that sort of thing. I mean, I don't know if I would necessarily ever want or desire to purchase a Mercedes. That's just me personally. But it's giving me some options. And so when a woman has options, she feels more free. When she feels, you know, that was literally what this was about for me, was like I felt trapped. I felt restricted. I can't leave my house. I can't drive my car. Like, it, once I really sat down and got into reality and got real about my situation and made the phone calls that I need to make. Like, when you're in that place of, like, freaking out, frantic, tragedy, can't figure things out, oh, my gosh, what am I going to do? Like, little tiny intuitive hits that came to me, they don't come to you then. Like, for me to call my mechanic and be like, hey, you know, like, here's the deal. Like, am I not allowed to take this thing out of my driveway at all? Like, I can't even drive to the store. Like, talk to me here. Like, tell me what the deal is. You know, and I have an amazing mechanic. I mean, he did a ton of research and, like, got back to me with some information because I was looking at two options at one point with the car, and then he was like, no, really, you only have, like, the used transmission option. So all of that to say that, like, when you get into this place of, like, oh, my gosh, I'm freaking out, I don't know what to do, you need to be asking yourself, what are the options that I have available to me, and what can I do to create more options right now? So that you don't feel restricted and go into this crazy freaking out energy that's going to attract nothing but more problems. So I'm going to hop on over to the phone line. So if you're on the webcast, you can go ahead and type your question right into the question and answer box there. And if you are on the phone and you have a question, you just press *2 to raise your hand. And I will give you guys a few minutes to get in the queue for that if that's something you are interested in doing. Again, if you're on the phone line, you would press *2 to raise your hand and ask a question live. And if you are on the webcast, you would just type your question right into the question and answer box there. I'm just going to pop on over here. Awesome, Beth. She said, great topic. I'm on the call live. So glad that you are on the live call here. And, you know, I'm just popping on over to the Facebook group. If, for those of you who haven't gotten into our Facebook community, we have an amazing Legendary Leadership Facebook community over at facebook.com/groups/legendaryleadership. And for people who can't get on the live radio show, I offer, you know, go ahead and post your question in the group there, and it will give you the opportunity to type out a question if you have one. So I'm glad you guys are enjoying the topic. And again, so for those of you who are in the on the webcast online, go ahead and type your question into the question and answer box there. And then if you're on the phone line and you have a question, you can just press star 2 to raise your hand, and I will be happy to take your call. So giving you guys a few more minutes to do that. So, you know, here's the thing. I mean, I've given you a lot of examples of how to end this self-sabotage and the drama and the overcomplicating things. And, you know, it's really kind of like a babyish way to get attention. And it really doesn't even get you the attention that you are requiring. So, like I said, you know, I was really in need of some masculine support throughout this whole thing. And so, you know, fortunately, like, when I went through a lot of this stuff, you know, over the, like, a year ago or whatever with my ex-husband, I kind of realized, like, you know, gosh, you know, not that he was exactly very supportive in many definitions of the you know, terms of the definition of being supported, I realized, like, I've got this totally awesome, totally rocking feminine power posse. I continue to add to the list. I've got people all over the globe that I can count on in any given moment, and I could literally, like, call anyone in any situation and have a mastermind partner or just someone to cry with or what have you. But I really, really, really realized, I guess probably at the beginning of the summer in 2013, was that I just didn't have the same level of support with you know, the males in my life, or didn't really even have a lot of male relationships or, you know, that sort of thing outside of my marriage. And so that was something that I was really intent on creating. And, you know, it's like, start small. I mean, if you're hearing me talk about my feminine power posse, like, and you want to create your own female power posse, like, these are people you could call up and bare your all to on any topic, and they will love you and not judge you no matter what, okay? And, you know, you might call a different person for a different situation. Like, the person that I call about my car might not be the person that I call about, you know, masterminding about my next 90 days in my business or something, for example. And so when I did hire my coach, I was very, very on purpose and intentional about hiring a male coach. And I knew the exact coach that was going to give me every ingredient that I needed to feel supported as a woman and to stay out of this going into spinning, freaking out, frantic energy. And so luckily, you know, I did spend the past, you know, however months it is now, like 9-10 months of my life, like, really creating a more strong, connected relationships with different males in my life, guy friends and that sort of thing, that are available to support me in this kind of situation. And so I was really choosing to be on purpose and to be aware of the masculine support, because this part of me really kind of believed that, you know, there's, in the beginning, that part of you will believe that you don't have anyone to call or you don't have anyone to support you in a particular area. And so I'll use the example of when I first started my power posse, my conditioned self would be like, oh, my God, and, you know, I'm freaking out. And, like, I have no one to call. No one's here for me. And I would always just, like, go into this, I'm totally isolated and I don't have anyone to be there for me. And so the reason why I started this power posse list is I literally have an index card in my middle drawer in my desk in my office that says Rebecca's Power Posse. And it has, you know, different women's names on it that I know that I could call or text in any given moment and they would be there for me. And the reason why I've kept it in my middle drawer in my office is because when I would go into this, I would pull the card out and I would call bluff with my conditioned self. And I would say, really? You don't have anyone to call? Pick up the phone and start calling people. And that's what I did. I would literally start calling people, and sometimes I would get through calling like 5 or 10 people, and finally someone would pick up, and finally someone would be there for me, and finally my conditioned self really realized that it was like crying wolf. It wasn't even true. It wasn't even true. It may have been true at one point, but that is one way to reprogram that subconscious belief. And so in the same way, with this masculine support, I was more on purpose and more in a place of maturity than I was when I first started the Feminine Power Posse. Thankfully, I've grown a lot since then. And so I was really able to just choose to be on purpose and choose to be aware of, like, what is the masculine support that's coming in for me right now, and being available to receive it, because there's two parts of that. And so I ended up going upstairs, and I lit some candles and, like, brought my journal with me and decided to sit in meditation and really just journal about this whole situation. And what really came up for me, and I started crying about this, was the level of masculine support that did show up for me. Like I said, you know, I had this guy call me, like, right at the perfect time. You know, I had my mechanic earlier that day call me out of the blue and say, hey, look, I did some more research, and here's what I found, and just be available to me to, like, bounce ideas off of him about different cars and that sort of thing. You know, I had my coach who emailed me, and then, you know, I had a friend later on who actually, like, his hobby is cars, and he, you know, was, like, a very busy, like, multimillionaire business owner. And so he, like, called me right away that night, and, like, you know, so just really had, like, these 2 days of incredible support, and was very in my face. You know, the universe was really putting it in my face just how much masculine support that I do have, and that really felt amazing to me. And so when I went up and I was journaling about this, I really went into this deep place of gratitude for all of the support that has shown up for me, which enables me to stay in this energy of, like, what's unfolding here, and this place of curiosity, like, I don't need to know the outcome just yet, and I don't need to also force something to happen or make a rash purchase in order to have a solution, that I'm still okay with being available to the universe to show me what the perfect solution is for this car breaking down. And I'm not trying to force something. You know, it's like if you're making a cake, like you're wanting it to cook faster, and so you turn the temperature up, and then it comes out burnt and gooey in the center. And so it just, even though sometimes things aren't happening in your timing, it doesn't mean that they aren't happening in divine timing. And so really staying faithful and staying true to trusting that there is a perfect solution here, and staying open to the inspirations that you might be given in the way of gut feelings or intuition, and taking action on them. So, you know, when I got this idea about this taking over someone's lease thing, like, I had to go then look up a website in the U.S. that, you know, was like a lease takeover website or something. And then I actually had to do a search, you know. And so these are the things that you have to take action on once you've received that divine inspiration. And you know what? Maybe that's not the route that I'm going to go, because I'm still staying open to, like, what's really true for me, what's really my desire, and asking and being in co-creation and engagement with God on a daily basis as to what is the divine solution, and trusting that I am in divine transportation as I am driving my SUV around town to the grocery store or to, you know, the gym or what have you, and kind of taking some shorter trips around town here. So really staying open to that. And so the way, you know, the reason why you take yourself down is because of conditioning. You know, any result that you have currently in your life that you're not happy about, or it's less than desirable, or it's not what you wanted, it's because thoughts plus words plus actions equals your reality. And so what are you thinking? Okay, there's probably some past conditioning there. Like, I've shared with you about my victim story and how I came to realize, like, I don't need to do that to get the result that I desire anymore. I don't need to get attention by being a victim in order to get my outcome. I can actually choose to be empowered and get a better outcome as a result. And so really recognizing, like, what are the patterns that are running? You know, what did you hear growing up from either your parents or their friends or what have you, you know, and all of these things. And those can be the voices that are in your head, even when you're going through something like this. Like, I might have a voice come up in my head that's like, oh, Rebecca, be practical, you know, get, and I did, literally, like, my mechanic actually said to me, why don't you get a Ford Focus? And, like, I mean, with all due respect, like, Ford Focuses are great, but they are not for me. I do not want to drive a Ford Focus. I love Fords. They're great, but put me in a Mustang. Do not put me in a Ford Focus. And so, like, you have to be really aware and not buy into other people's conditioning. Like, you have to really be aware of things. And so, like, my mechanic has this whole conditioning that, like, you know, you need to be practical and you need to get a Ford Focus and, like, make your car payment as small as possible because, you know, the government's making it worse for people and now there's this healthcare thing. Yes, I got this entire earful on the phone. As much as I love him, I brought my filters up immediately because I don't buy into that mentality. And I know what buying into it gets you. And so, you know, that is really why you take yourself down. It's not because you hate yourself or what have you. It's simply because there was some kind of conditioning growing up. It's just like a computer being programmed to perform a particular task. Your brain has literally been programmed to respond in a certain way to a certain situation. And you can also choose to reprogram your mind by doing different activities and like hiring a mentor and listening to very, very specific books that can help you with those types of things. So I'm going to hop back over to the phone line here and just see if we have any questions. And again, if you're on the webcast, you would just press, or pardon me, if you're on the phone, you press star two. And if you are on the webcast, you would just type your question right into the question and answer. And we have Kelly from Ocean City who has raised her hand. And hi, Kelly, how are you?
Hey, Rebecca, I'm good. And I love my Ford Explorer, too. That was my previous car before the one I have now. And like you, no offense, but Ford Focus is not for me either.
right.
Great topic. I have two questions. One, how do you up-level the circle of people in your life if you feel like right now, you know, the saying you become like the five people mm-hmm. you hang around or spend the most time with? And what if the people that are in your life right now aren't really where you want to be? Like, how do you find those people that, you know, you don't, you're not in their circle yet, but you kind of want, you know, you want to be, like, because you really want to mm-hmm. up-level your life. And how do you work your way into people's lives that have already significantly up-leveled their life so you can develop a more powerful power posse? And that's mm-hmm. my first question. My second question is, how do you lovingly address or even disconnect from those who are stuck in their own stories, they're invested in their victimhood, not looking to up-level their lives? Doesn't matter.
Sure.
I'll take them offline. Yeah.
Okay. Awesome questions. Yeah. Great. So, you know, here's what happened for me about 3.5-4 years ago. I had gone to a workshop in Florida, and my life was kind of in the toilet, and you know, I was really dissatisfied, and I was broke, and you know, listening to free teleclasses, and this woman was doing a workshop on it was like breath work, inner bonding, and joy, and so. You know, obviously I met some people at this workshop, but, you know, some of them may have been in similar situations as me at that point. But nonetheless, you know, went to this workshop and then ended up signing into a group coaching program with her where you were going to get clear on your life purpose and develop a business from that and all of that stuff. And so that group program, I think there were maybe like 10 other people or 9 other people in the group. And I remember one of the calls that we had, there were a couple of people because, you know, hey, even though we were kind of connected as a group, like we all went back to our respective states that we lived in and no one was near anyone else. And, you know, one of the girls in there from Canada was in particularly like a really isolated kind of person at that point in her life. Like she didn't have a husband, she didn't have children. You know, and I think having a husband and children kind of gets you more out of isolation per se. I mean, a lot of people who are single with no husband or children, they sometimes can tend to go to work and come home and that's it. And like, you know, their social life is sort of what gets them out of the house and that sort of thing. And so what I remember her saying to us is to, number one, set an intention that, you know, and again, like, what I've learned since then is literally speaking a mantra over yourself over and over and over again. I see myself with new high vibrational friends. I see myself with new high vibrational friends. You know, or I see myself connected with uber successful people. I see myself connected with uber successful people. Whatever that affirmation is for you. So that's one piece. And the other piece was like to pray. And prior to the prayer being answered, there was this time of isolation. Like I can literally remember sitting on my bedroom floor near my window in my bedroom and like bawling my eyes out because I felt like a freaking, you know, foreign person in a country where no one spoke my language. Like here I was, I had gone through this like traumatic experience with my ex-husband on vacation 6.5 years ago. And then, like, here I am, like, finally starting to pick myself up off the bathroom floor, literally, and because I literally would, like, cry every night on my bathroom floor and, you know, was listening to, like, talking books and had kind of, like, disconnected with some friends through this tragedy. And so here I was, like, kind of heading on this intellectual, personal development and spiritual path. And, like, most of the people that I knew in the area that, like, I would see at my kids' preschool, we're talking about laundry, and I couldn't have been more bored in my life. Like, I couldn't wait to get home and listen to Man's Search for Meaning or Dr. Wayne Dyer books or what have you, and, like, that kind of made me, like, really, like, the weirdo, you know, like, standing out in the crowd. And when you're on that path of personal development, because it is a path less chosen by most people still at this point, it can be very isolating, and when you do talk, you can sound like you are speaking a foreign language. And so I can remember feeling the pain of feeling isolation and crying the tears that I needed to cry. And slowly but surely, you know, and here's the other thing, like with online communities, it's like the coolest thing in the world, right? Like you can connect with people all over the globe. Like there are people that I literally talk to and they know like the deepest, darkest secrets of my life that I've never even met in person before, and like literally like going through this divorce last year, you know, one person in particular, like I would not have made it through without her. So just stay open to seeing what the universe is bringing you. Just by asking this question, things will start orchestrating on your behalf to connect you with people. And so literally, like, right after this, I ended up, I don't even know how I ended up, like, something on Facebook, and boy, was I hemming and hawing about being on Facebook. I mean, I was like, great, now I'm a business owner, and I'm going to start a coaching business, and now my coach is telling me I got to be on Facebook, like, because I had major visibility issues back then. And so somehow got connected with this awesome Women Hub network that this woman Robin had started, and then she decided to do this awesome Women Hub tour, and they had this event in Owings Mills, Maryland that I went to, and there were like, I don't know, maybe 50 other women in the area there, and that was also, I found out about that. Actually, I found out about that through a networking group, and I know that you run a networking group too, so like just stay open to divine ideas and divine inspiration. And then from there, literally the woman who I was just talking about driving up the coast with last year in March, she was starting a book project, and it was called Fearless Voices, True Stories of Courageous Women, which is how I met Liz, in fact, who was our guest a couple of weeks ago, and have since become really amazing friends with Liz, that I just started connecting with all of these people. There's another woman who has a radio station in Baltimore, Maryland, and I've been on her radio show a couple of times, and a lot of these women have literally become like sisters to me to a certain degree. And so that's just one example. And so saying the prayer and being available to pay attention to, yeah, I'm supposed to go there, or yeah, I'm supposed to connect with that person. I mean, I've been at events before where, like, literally at the same time almost, I've said to, you know, another woman that I'm, like, I'm just so drawn to you and I don't know why, or I feel like I need to connect with you and I don't know why, and then it ends up unfolding into something else. And so I would say that those connections occur much more divinely and less, like, strategically. Where I am now and where I was just literally 3 or 4 years ago is so outrageously and dramatically different. And like, you know, literally, like, here I am, the program director of Gina DeVee's Academy, and literally 2 years ago, I was driving with a client to go to her Divine Living Tour in New York City. I was just on the phone with Gina's husband about this, and we were kind of laughing about it, and he was saying, like, this is our third birthday because this is going to be our third March together, because last year I was literally in their home as an apprentice in California. And so these kinds of things you just can't even begin to imagine. Like, you know, they're these divine connections that occur. And so literally 2 years ago when I was at this event of Dina and Glenn's in March, I mean, I had no idea I would be literally like an apprentice for them the March later, and now 2 Marches later, literally be their program director of this amazing international academy. And so if, as long as you're open and available to these kinds of experiences, I mean, the other thing that actually happened in March at that event was I met who I then would hire as a coach. One of the speakers was Jen Gruber. And so I had asked at that event if Gina and Jen Gruber, both of them, would be on my telesummit that I was having, which was, you know, like 2.5 years ago, or not even 2 years ago at this point. It was July of 2012. And I had this, you know, Authentic Business Revolution telesummit that I did, and I was asking really high-end coaches and speakers to come on. And ironically, the girl that I said I would never have made it through when this all this stuff fell apart with my marriage last year, literally I was connected with her by Jen Gruber. And so you just never know. You know, you just really never know. And, I mean, here's another example that I would love to share is that when I first started in this coaching program with that first coach that I told you about 4 years ago, the second group coaching that I did with her, I became accountability partners with this woman, Amy, who I still, like, I mean, I'm getting choked up just even talking about it. It's just amazing how the universe works. It really continues to delight and surprise me, and that's what it's all about. Like, we are meant to be in a state of awe, and that's what I'm talking about. And so this woman, Amy, ended up being in the second group program that I did with this original coach, and she was my accountability partner. And just like the smallest thing that you think is not going to be the big deal at all, literally something as simple as this. We're on our accountability call, and Amy says, "Hey, Rebecca, have you ever heard of this woman, Gina DeVee? She has this Monday radio show, blah, 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 blah. You should check her out." And that is exactly how the seed, the mustard seed that, you know, it talks about in the Bible, how powerful a mustard seed can be and that it can sprout anywhere, literally is the reason why I am where I am right now as the program director of this academy. Without Amy having said that one simple, "Hey, check this woman's radio show out." So don't for a second think that anything is insignificant, and don't for a second think that any word out of your mouth doesn't have an impact, that you might not even ever know just how impactful that is. So that would be what I would say to that. And then as far as, like, letting the other people go, I don't know if you have to necessarily say something specifically. I mean, you kind of outgrow people. Like, my mom seems to have this mentality that, like, you're friends with the same, like, something, she thinks something's wrong with me, and she says I've just cut people out of my life, when in reality it's because I'm growing at such a fast pace that I've outgrown some friends. And it doesn't mean that I don't call them and talk to them. I just might not talk to them as frequently. Like, you know, I still love and adore one of my girlfriends that lives in Florida, and I don't feel like I've outgrown her by any stretch of the imagination at all, but we don't talk as often as we used to, and different people come into your lives at different times to serve different purposes, and you just have to trust that the right ones are in your life at the right time, and trust that there might be a period of isolation, and it's for a reason. So I hope that answers your question.
It does. Thank you. That was awesome. I have witnessed and experienced that outgrowing people in the past. I guess it's people that maybe that you're sort of forced to be around for because mm-hmm. of life circumstances or, you know, what have you, that you find are a little bit of an energy vampire. You know, it's
just, yeah, just really, you know,
maneuvering through
boundaries.
That. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Awesome.
Yeah,
thank
great
you.
Way to end the show. You're welcome. Thank you. I will mute your line for your privacy. And thank you, all of you, for being on the show. Please tell your friends. We are looking to expand and up-level and reach more people with our amazing free content every week. And just in 2 weeks, we'll have Natalie Michal, Oprah's former producer, be on the show for our guest for March. So I'm really excited, and I'd love to have a ton of people on the call with her as well. So have a great rest of the day, everyone. Lots of love, and until next time.